In a world where healthcare is rapidly evolving, are we really listening to what patients have to say? Imagine the impact if we could harness the expertise of patients to shape the future of healthcare. It's a challenge that requires us to rethink how we engage with those at the heart of the system, the patients. How do we effectively leverage patient-reported measures to enhance care? Are we ready to move beyond the traditional approaches to truly integrate patient insights into healthcare delivery? And what does it take to create a healthcare environment where no patient feels alone? With me today is Blake Wilson, CEO of Simplicity, a company transforming healthcare by valuing patient input. And in this episode, we talk about the necessity of both product and service in patient engagement, the increasing importance of patient-recorded experience measures and patient-reported outcome measures, and the potential of patient communication channels for personalizing care, reducing hospital admissions, and creating rich data sets for healthcare improvement. Collaboration starts with a conversation, Team Health Tech. Let's make it happen. Between now and the end of June, we're conducting the 2024 Talking Health Tech Audience Survey. This helps us prioritize content, hone in key messages, and refine the show to make it even better. We also want to understand who the biggest cohorts of our audience are. So I'd love for you to take 5 or 10 minutes to have your say and complete the survey. Everyone who completes it goes in the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of THT Plus membership credits to put towards a membership for yourself as an individual or to help get the word out about your company. The link to complete the survey is in the show notes of this episode, or just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey.
Welcome to Talking Health Tech, featuring content and community about technology and healthcare. We acknowledge the traditional owners of lands these conversations were recorded and pay respect to elders past and present.
Firstly, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Blake Wilson. I'm CEO of a company called Simplicity. Simplicity is a patient-reported measures company. So we do PREMs, PROMs, symptom tracking of patients. But probably more importantly, how we think about it is we think about asking patients the right questions at the right time and a mode that suits them, and then connect them to their care teams. And we predominantly do that when they're at home. Do a little bit in the clinic, but mostly once they're away from hospital, away from the immediate care, because ultimately I think that's where our expertise lay the best, but it's also probably a gap where they're not having that one-to-one interaction with clinicians.
Got you. And then thinking about PROMs and PREMs, just for those that aren't fully aware, so patient-reported outcome measures, patient-reported experience measures, so how they, is that, am I getting it right, and how they feel about the service they've received and like the actual health outcomes from what the intervention is?
Yeah, that's it. Patient-reported experience measures are about their experience of care, not about their own health. The other big distinction often in PREMs is those programs tend to be anonymous, right? They're not about an individual, they're about an aggregate of results and getting a feel about how the experience is changing over time. PROMs are about your own health and various versions of your old health. So they could be about your quality of life, so quite generic stuff, or they could be quite specific things like, I just had my knee operated on, how's your mobility, how's the pain, how's the sleep? So quite specific questions. So they could be quite individual. But the interesting thing about PROMs is both they impact the individual and can impact their care, but in aggregate, they're also really useful data about the value of care.
Right, okay, yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that, actually, because on one hand, for the individual, they're like, or when looking through the lens of an individual that's receiving care, you can say, well, you can see if they've got better or worse, I guess.
Yeah.
The aggregate of care and looking at whole of population data, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, so like we run programs that sit across a population. And the interesting thing about PROMs is, of course, let's say you're asking about pain. Now, you might be a very pain-tolerant person. So what's interesting for you is how has your pain changed over time? You know, for a person who's very pain-tolerant, if you go from 4 to 7, that's a big shift.
Yeah.
That's a movement of 3. And so, but then there's other people who are not so pain-tolerant, and they've gone from 7 to 9.
Yeah.
But that's a movement of 2. So it's all about the delta. what is the change in outcomes across the population? And then you kind of take care of those personal kind of feelings about how they, perceptions of their own health.
Yeah.
And then once you aggregate that data up, you can slice and dice it in lots of interesting ways. So you can slice and dice it by demographic, by different care types, different treatment pathways, different drugs, different everything. It becomes a really powerful tool to get the patient's perspective of value and kind of talking much more to that personalised care and how do we tailor care so that it's more personalised to the needs of the patient.
Yeah.
More and more so now in Australia, in the private sector particularly, they're asking patients, you know, what is the goal for your goal for this treatment? You know, and we've seen that both in a kind of surgical care and in mental health. We do a program in Northwest Melbourne. They ask, in a mental health journey, what is your goal for this treatment? And then at every subsequent data point, we ask them to rate progress against the goal they set out. What an awesome kind of personal care kind of outcomes journey. You're actually saying, well, I want to play tennis again. Are you playing tennis again? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Whereas somebody else might be, I just want to walk up the stairs without pain.
Yeah. How good is that? Because, you know, and we're in this industry that's so centered around, you know, delivery of care to human beings, and humans have motivations to do things. And like in those examples that you give, some people don't want to be a triathlete or anything. Yeah. Be competitive in that sense. They may want it to be able to pick up their grandchild or something like that. So, and that's the motivation for them to do. And I think being able to, I would imagine being able to remind them of the why is also probably helping in that cycle of like, well, let's keep doing this thing.
And he kind of talks a little bit to that value-based care model, because there's a kind of a conflict sometimes with that kind of personalised care and how we fund care, which is you do the activity, you get the money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is the funding jars with the personalisation. Mm. And that's why, of course, we're seeing a lot more talk. I mean, we've been seeing talk for a number of years, but I feel like a bit more action towards a value-based care model.
Yeah.
And part of that value-based care model, is a big part of it, is PREMs and PROMs.
Yeah.
You know, we're diving into the guts of PROMs and PREMs for a second here to pull back for a tick, for simplicity. And you mentioned Australia as well, and we're hearing the hints. So you know, just remind me then, tell me about simplicity and the way that you're capturing some of this stuff, and also the why you're doing it as well, how that ties into what you're doing today. So.
Look, in terms of the why, the founders of Simplicity, they worked in research, generic research, and then they started working with a hospital, a large one here in Auckland, public hospital. And they want to transition from an annual kind of paper survey to something much more continuous, where they felt like their staff were getting feedback that they could act on, and it was more real time. So they built that solution for them, and they really loved the work, and they saw the potential in the work. So they created Simplicity, and we really decided to focus on healthcare. And that's taken us a journey. It's actually a journey not dissimilar to what the clients go through. So you start doing patient experiences, because that tends to be episodic and a bit simpler to manage. Then we started to do patient-reported outcomes, which is quite interesting. And then, you know, even patient-reported outcomes, you start to get blurred into other things. So we do a lot of surgical site infection.
Yeah.
So seeing how many people get surgical site infections post surgery, that often hospitals have no idea about, right? Because that person goes to their GP and gets some antibiotics to treat that. But hospitals need to know if infection rates are going up, because there may be some better practice they can do in surgery to improve that. And then ultimately into symptom tracking, which is, you know, somebody's undergoing a cancer journey. There's a session today talking about some work we do at the conference about advanced breast cancer, and that's a weekly tracking of side effects as you go through a breast cancer journey. As we've got deeper and deeper into that clinical workflow, I think increasingly we see the reward, personally, in my team, and what we can deliver as an ROI to both patients and clinicians, the deeper we get into using the patient voice to influence their care.
Yeah. And when you say this is what you do, in terms of the way you do this, is it a software platform?
Yeah, so it's a mixture of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And a kind of a service layer around the top. So technology is about how do we flexibly maximize the patient participation. So what kind of modes do they want to respond to? Is it email? Is it text? Is it QR codes nowadays? Links and so on? And that becomes more and more sophisticated as we learn more and more about it. So you start to find that over 50s prefer email. But not in every jurisdiction. We use a lot of paper surveying in Ireland, where there's not a lot of digital capture. SMS, preferred by the under 50s. We do a massive program here in New Zealand for Plunket, which is childcare. So it's women having babies. So, of course, most of them are under 50. And SMS is the best way they like to engage in those services. And so that's really interesting on the tech side and the capture. And when you get to proms, it gets a little more complex because you've got to longitudinally link an individual over time.
Right.
And sometimes you're capturing feedback from them long after they've had the treatment. You know, how is your quality of life still sustained 9 months after you've had that mental health journey? That kind of stuff. Then the reporting side has been interesting because the pivot to health and the focus on health has taught us that we have to make stuff really simple and really easy to understand because our users are healthcare professionals. They are not research experts, they're not marketing experts. They need to be right up front. How am I going? Where can I improve? What should I focus on to do better? And it can't be too complex in how we deliver that in flashes. It needs to be right for because they're time poor.
As yeah, you know. Sure, sure.
And you mentioned there's a service element to it as well. Yeah. How does that work?
So a lot of SaaS companies, you probably met them a few, they start to evolve into this function called customer success.
Sure.
And I think a lot of it in the past, and certainly we were, customer success was this kind of catch-all for managing your clients' accounts and kind of doing...
I've been a customer success manager and you're basically everything else.
Everything client-facing is customer success.
Fix it.
And I kind of get why that is, but I think a couple of years ago we kind of realised actually there's a different skill set going on here. So there's an account management piece that looks after your individual accounts, and customer success are more the client community.
The Talking Health Tech podcast has evolved a lot over the years, all based on audience feedback. Now I need your help. Yes, you, to shape the future of this show. Between now and the end of June, we're running our biggest campaign to date in order to understand what makes the global healthcare ecosystem tick. Last time we ran our Talking Health Tech audience survey, we learnt 40% of our audience are clinicians, 77% of our audience tune in for professional development and market awareness, 8% of people listen to Talking Health Tech for competitor profiling, and only 2% of people listen to the podcast to fall asleep. And this time around, I can't wait to find out about your preferences for audio versus video content, which topics we should dive into more, preferences for hosts and formats and geographical reach and so much more. And don't worry, we'll be sharing all the insights once all the responses are collected as well. So if you're a supporter of Talking Health Tech and you can spare 5 or 10 minutes, please complete our 2024 audience survey. And to say thanks for your input, everyone who completes the survey goes into the draw to win a share of $1,000 worth of credits towards THT Plus membership. Go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey or the links in the show notes of this episode as well.
So they're about both in terms of big data, what can we learn from the data across clients, and also what best practices and learnings can we share within the client community that we operate on? So they increasingly work with account managers to say, okay, what are the key success factors you need for a program and how have other clients delivered on it? So they're the ones who pull the case studies, share the case studies, run the webinars, do the big data analytics and share those results and reports and so on.
Yeah.
Both internally for us so that we get better, but also directly to the clients.
I was thinking that too, because you mentioned, I think you said at some point that the end user is the healthcare professional. So are they triggering off then surveys, the questions that go out to then capture the outcome measure and experience messages from patients? And then is there a mix of both? I'm guessing the software does a bit of analytics and putting stuff back, but then also there's the human element of your
decision. It's typically an automatic trigger based on some sort of feed from the patient administration system and some sort of rules-based engine. So really seamless capture generally if we can make it, and that's the first big win for a lot of the clients when they first start, right? Because they've been chasing patients or somebody's in the reception's been trying to get them. So that tends to stop and they get volume. And when you get volume, because participation rates are high, what you can do is disaggregate the data. because you know enough patient feedback at a ward level, for instance, to be meaningful. It's nothing worse than showing somebody, oh, your ward rated terrible this week, and they go, I only had 3 responses, you know? Yeah. It's really negative and putting up. So you got to get the volume in, and that tends to require automation. And then we can do the analytics. And the analytics can be, like, at the simpler end, you know, what's my NPS score?
Mm.
What's my benchmark? How do I compare against others in my hospital or in my clinics or in my specialty? To going more increasingly complex, right? Some of the PROMS tools we have complex scoring algorithms. They have minimal clinical improvement, things that they expect to get that you've got to compare against.
Mm.
And then in the qualitative data, we're kind of, you know, we're doing the natural language processing. So the AI kind of engine that honestly just delivers all the sentiment and themes that you then got to organise and make actually meaningful for the clients.
And why are these all being captured? I get that if you want something, what is it, when something managed, you measure it, and the value that
you can't manage it unless you measure it.
I obviously am not good at one liner, you know, inspirational quotes, but is there, I would imagine then to be able to track this, but is there like a regulatory requirement? Is there funding that comes off the back? Like, what's driving the need to do this?
It varies, and it probably talks a little bit to the variation we see across our countries, because we work in Europe, we work in Australasia predominantly. So the UK, the NHS, I don't know if we always think of that as the most innovative environment in the world, but they do have, you know, some elements of innovation, and they've been hot on patient-reported measures for well over a decade.
Mm.
So there's a lot of mature thinking about what's going on there and some regulated elements. Fortunately, so PROMs are regulated, for instance. So hip and knee PROMs, you have to do them. Doesn't matter if you're in the public or the private, you have to do it. Increasingly in the private sector as well, they have to do various other types of PROMs tools for different surgeries, cataracts and so on. And that is regulated and required, and if they're starting to get named and changed, they don't.
Mm.
So that creates a nice kind of benefit. It also, the problem with the regulation, of course, is sometimes it creates a tick-the-box mentality.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, I've collected the results, send it off to them, done. And our battle in that environment is, no, let's take this opportunity to actually drive care improvement, you know, to build a patient-centric, personalised kind of care model. In Australia and New Zealand, there's no such regulation, certainly in the private sector.
Mm.
But even in the public sector, it's not really, it's very soft.
Yeah, they might have a policy
policy, and they talk about patient-centered care, but it's not like a hammer coming in in that way. So there's kind of, I think of our, particularly our PROMS clients in Australia and New Zealand, they tend to be more at the front end, the innovators of the bell curve at this stage. And we obviously want people to transition into the meat of that bell curve and get them seeing this as the facilitator for reducing wait lists, like helping staff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's on us to kind of show that, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, we could talk about it, but we've got to drive it and show them why it's going to be beneficial for them.
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of leads into where I was going as well, too. Like, what does success look like then to you? Like, what's your vision for how using patient-reported measures then can actually have a meaningful impact to the healthcare system?
Well, I think I'll give you an example. You know, I think we haven't fully yet realised by any stretch of the imagination, if we connect to patients at home and ask them good questions, what the potential is. I'll give you an example, right? A couple of examples that we're just touching on that are more at the bleeding edge of innovation here. So we're doing risk stratification models of care. So we're asking patients at the beginning or during a care journey about their health or about their confidence to manage their own health. And then we're combining that maybe with their postcode and their deprivation. So how wealthy are they?
Mm-hmm.
Or how wealthy is the street they live in as a proxy for their wealth? And then you can say, well, for people who are at the poorest area of town, who are low on health quality, who have these symptoms, they need a way more proactive care journey. Because we know statistically that if we don't do anything, for various reasons, they won't be able to get into the normal care system and they'll end up in ED, they'll end up stopping work, they end up with long-term care conditions. So let's get way more proactive. And that's a really good example of how, just by asking the right questions and combining it with data in smart ways, you can make a real difference at the back end. Ultimately, we just want to improve the lives of millions of patients through the health system. That's our goal, personally. And we want to make sure the patients, when they go home, they still feel connected to the care teams. It's not like, oh, that's it now, and now I just call my GP when I've got a problem, or call the ambulance.
Yeah.
You know, it feels way more proactive. And like, if you see the breast cancer thing that I referred to earlier, like, those patients are on a tough journey, right? It's advanced breast cancer, it's chemo, it's ultimately probably palliative care. And they see our program as a lifeline to their care team. You know, most of the time they're at home suffering through the side effects.
I see. Wow, okay.
No, that's... and then thinking, lastly, then in that kind of context and looking at the future of this space then, like, where are the priorities for you guys at Simplicity? What can we look forward to seeing from you over the next 6, 12, 24?
I think, look, one of the big things we're looking at is trying to bring as much of that client community best practice into the technology as well. Because I think when we start off with a client and, you know, they're in those early stages, what we give them is some amazing kind of benchmark of data internally. You know, who are my best service lines? Who are my best reporting? Where's the best wards? Where can we learn from others? But over time, as they kind of get past the lowest hanging fruit there, they want to know how they're comparing to others. And I find, like, quality teams in health, they're pretty isolated. They don't have a lot of opportunities to share. But that's where we can come in. And so we can help them share both verbally and kind of in a community sense, but also technology. So we're software as a service, single instance tech. So we actually have the ability to consolidate data globally. So if you're asking a question about respect and dignity, we can consolidate that question globally and show a client how their patient's view on respect and dignity compares to everybody all around the world in their sector. If you're running a certain kind of prompts tool or, you know, quality of life, you can see how we're going relative to everybody else around.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing to see your own progress as a health body over time. But then it's like, well, is that good? Like, you know, like, to be able to compare with your peers. Like, we all want to be able to do that. So,
and of course, the next natural step after that is showing the patients how they compare to people they've been, you know, particularly on a PROMS journey, on something that's, you know, their pain journey. How does my pain journey compare to somebody like me? Should it be, you know, is it similar or kind of low or high? So that opens the door to that as well.
Well, really cool. And that's tying into this, the sentiment and, you know, where patients often feel more comfortable sharing with a community of people like them under, who are having similar challenges or in a it's the same diagnosis. And they do that already, but in a very unstructured and fluffy way, to be able to provide some context behind it, which might give some hope or clarity, at least some direction. That's got to be a good thing. So, look, Blake, I really appreciate you making the time to have a chat and inviting me here into the Simplicity booth here at HINS. For the details for you guys on our website and the show notes of this episode, and look forward to checking in again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Hey, thanks for sticking around to the end of this episode. If you made it this far, you're the perfect person that I want to hear from. Our THT Plus audience survey is now open until the end of June, and I personally read every submission. In fact, if you leave a comment in the survey that you heard this promotion in a podcast episode, I promise I'll reply directly to you by email with a personal note of thanks, and I'll even buy you a coffee next time I see you in person. It's pretty easy. Just go to talkinghealthtech.com/survey and have your say.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Talking Health Tech. Make sure you like and subscribe and share this episode with someone who might find it valuable. For more information and resources about healthcare innovation, visit talkinghealthtech.com.